Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.org.au.
Hi, everybody. My name is Daniel Indrajaya. I'm one of the pastors here at church. I just want to welcome everybody to church this morning. If this is your first time being here in this facility, in this beautiful building, you are our honored guest. We're just so happy you're here. And we'd like to remind all of us who call this church home that our slogan around here is no perfect people allowed. What that means is we believe none of us is perfect. We need God's forgiveness. We need God's grace every day of our lives. And thank God we have that available to us because of Jesus who died on the cross for our sins 2,000 years ago. I'd like to welcome our YouTube viewers, podcast listeners as well. Thanks for joining in. Well, we are on the last week of our series that we call Crazy Like Us. The whole 3 or 4 weeks, including this week, we've been talking about this idea of generosity. I know some of you here this morning, probably you brought friends to church and said, oh, Pastor Daniel, please don't talk about money again. I was hoping you'd talk about something else. But let me tell you, this is so important for our church. And I just want to let you know, if you are a guest, just sit back and relax. This is not for you. This is more like an insider business, if you like, of the people who call this church home. But I think the idea is more important than that. I believe what we are doing, we call it Kingdom Builders. Let me remind you again what it is. Kingdom Builders is this faith-stretching exercise where we learn to trust God. That's the whole thing, isn't it? Christianity is not about doing. It's not just about being good. Christianity is about trusting God with everything. Not just our life, but also our finance, our everything. So Kingdom Builders, we call it Kingdom Builders because it is a faith-stretching exercise where we learn to trust God and we want to practice radical generosity by giving above and beyond our regular giving for our building fund. We can meet here every week because of the generosity of the people who call this church home. We do a lot of great things that proclaim the good news that Jesus did not come into this world to condemn the world, but he came into the world to save the world through him. We do a lot of things for the community around us, and we will do more as we get settled into this location. So this is very, very important, not just for the finance sake. I believe what we do is a spiritual exercise. But let me start again with a few disclaimers for all of us today, because it is important that we understand where we're coming from. This is, once again, this is not for all of you who are our guests. Like I said, we're just so happy you're here. So just sit back, relax. We don't want your money today or at any point in time, you know, when you come here as our guests, all right? So no, not for our guests, and no pressure to give. Today, what we're going to do is, we've been telling you this for the past few weeks, at the end of my message, we're going to have you to come forward and put your faith promise card that you have been filling maybe all throughout the week. If you don't have it, it's right there on your seat inside the Kingdom Builders booklet. So we're going to come forward. We're going to pray over our giving together, but there's no pressure to give whatsoever. The last thing I want from you is you give under compulsion. You give because everybody else give, that you feel like you have to. Please don't do that. And I don't think our God would like that either, because the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. So if you are, again, this is not for you at all if you feel like you are under compulsion to give, all right? And then the last one is that we want to remind you that what we do is really not for our benefit. It's really not for our benefit. We believe our church is unique. I believe every church is unique in that regard. Church is the only institution, is the only club, if you want to call it club, that exists for its non-members. See, a lot of country clubs that you can join, the reason why you join that country club is because you want to get benefit that you can get from that country club. Am I correct? But church is different. When you join a church, the reason why, if it's a Church of Jesus Christ, the reason why any church exists at all is for the benefit of its non-members. We believe our existence here in the city of Canning is for the benefit of the people around us. So this building, this beautiful building that you see, this nice facility, is really not for us. is for the people that we're trying to reach. That's why we built this facility. This is not for my benefit. I don't know if you know, but I don't work on commission. So it's not that, okay, if you give more, or Pastor Daniel is going to get more money at the end of the year. It's not that at all. We are a not-for-profit organization. We are audited every year by an external auditor. We are transparent with our finances and everything. Everything that we do in this church, rest assured, is not for the benefit of our members, but it's for the mission that God has given us. We want to be a church that shines its light bright. We want to be salt in our community, where the community can benefit from knowing the love of Jesus Christ. So that's why we do what we do. But here's what we do without being embarrassed at all. Okay, I think my clicker doesn't work, so somebody has to advance my slide for me. That's fine. This is what we will not apologize for. We believe everyone can give. We believe every one of you can give. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how much you give. Everyone will have an opportunity to give if you want to. We value sacrifice in this place. Our slogan is different amount equals sacrifice. $50 for some of you is a big sacrifice. $5 for some of you is a huge sacrifice. But for others, $5,000 is not even a sacrifice because you have so much. And another thing that we believe in this church is we believe that we need to lead by example. And that's what we've done. We told you for many weeks that today is a commitment weekend, Sunday, the 26th of March, 2017. But do you know that the leaders in this church, the team members who have so faithfully serve you week after week in the kids ministry, in the band, in the welcoming team, in the host team. Every one of us, not only do we give up our time, our talent in order to serve you and serve our community, but we also put our money where our mouth is. We believe so much in what we do here as a church. We believe in the vision of this church so much that we say, We're gonna give as well. We're not just gonna excel in serving. We're gonna excel in giving as well. So we managed to gather from 78 of our team members. We have now, with the additional new team members, we have close to 200 team members now, volunteer team members. But we managed to gather 78 of them who made the decision beforehand, before today, before all of you, that we're gonna give to God for the next year. This is a 1-year commitment. So if you can see the next slide, our team members, your volunteers in this church have already pre-committed before today to give until April next year, $382,032. That's how much we've committed, all right? So this is the pastors, the leaders, the servants that you see serving you today. So the question is, why are we so crazy generous in this place? Well, let me give you 5 reasons, all right? I'm going to be very quick today. And I'm going to show you a couple of videos that are so encouraging that you're going to love it, I know. But these are 5 reasons why we are so generous. Number one, we believe we have a Heavenly Father who is generous to all of us. The famous verse, John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world so much." He doesn't just love the world a little bit. He loved you and me so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not die, will not perish, but have eternal life. Let me tell you the good news today. If you are visiting today, you're not a Christian, the good news is Christianity is not a bunch of rules. Christianity is not about doing your best. That's not Christianity at all. That's what I thought it was before I became a Christian. But I found out that Christianity is so much better than that. That's why it's called good news. Christianity is about God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all of us, who came down because He knew our predicament. Our predicament is our sin. We do things wrongly. We make mistakes along the way. And God says, rather than, "I'm going to come and crush you," God says, "No, I'm going to come. I'm going to die on your behalf and forgive you." Because as you all know, sin needs to be punished. See, you go to a judge, right? You commit a crime. You cry foul if if justice is not committed. And God is not just a loving God, He is a just God as well. That's why God came into this world. He took on the punishment that is rightly ours and put it on His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why if you believe in Him, if you just trust Him that what He's done for you is for you, you will not die but have everlasting life. And that gift of everlasting life is available to any of you. Today, that could be yours. If you say to God, in your own prayer time, it doesn't even have to be me praying for you. In your own time, you can just pray, God, I know I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. At that very moment, God will forgive you. Jesus will come into your life. So that's number one. We believe we have a generous, generous God. Number two, we believe our life is so much better when we are generous. Look at what Proverbs says. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. Look at Gabriel. He's so generous. He gets larger and larger every year. But the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. This is weird. This is counterintuitive. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are themselves helped. See, you think when you give, you have less. But that's not what the Bible says. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. Now, don't get me wrong, all right? I'm not here to tell you, if you give 10 to the Lord, He's going to give 100 back to you. You're going to be super rich. You're going to be powerful and everything. No. God's blessing could be in the form of finance. But it could be in the form of other things as well. And for me, the biggest blessing of all is God's spiritual blessing in my life. What I'm able to do with the talent, the time that God has given me. That's why if you look at any generous people, they are such blessing, not because they're rich, not because they're powerful, but they become so influential in their world that their world gets larger and larger. But if you are stingy, if you hoard everything to yourself, you may have a lot of money, but then your world will get smaller and smaller. How many of you would like to hang around stingy friends? You don't, right? We like to hang around generous friends, people who love to give. And then in return, because we are surrounded by generous people, if you surround yourself by generous people, you yourself will become generous. That's why the world of the generous gets larger and larger. That's why we do what we do. Number three, the reason why we are so generous in this place, generosity is the evidence of worship. Generosity is the evidence of worship. Jesus said, you have to choose your allegiance. You have to choose, especially I'm talking to Christ follower now, who do you really worship? Who do you really worship? It's easy for us to say, oh, I worship Jesus, I worship God with our mouth, but does our action really reflect what we say we believe? Hear what Jesus says. No one can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot. Not you can if you try. You cannot serve both God and money. See, God bless us, some of us, many of us, with money. But don't serve money. Money has to serve your purpose here on earth. Get money to serve you and your purpose. Don't be slaved by money. All right? Now, in another passage, Paul says to Timothy, next verse, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is not the root of evil, the love of money. Money is good. Money is neutral. But if you love it, God is jealous. Because God knows your allegiance to Him, your allegiance to money will affect your allegiance to Him. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money. I have to be careful with myself because this is my tendency and all of our tendency as well. Some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Unfortunately, I have to tell you, and this is probably the reason why some of you are reluctant to give. I get it. I totally get it. Don't get me wrong. You know, I was in your shoes before. Whenever I see TV preachers flying in their private airplane, whenever I see, you know, just abundance of luxury that a minister of the gospel or the so-called minister of the gospel have, you know, I cringe and I thought to myself, that's not how Jesus would live His life if He were to live on earth right now. You know, we have been burned before by the so-called servants of God. That's why, you know, this money thing is very powerful. Let me tell you, it's very, very powerful. Even a servant of God like me, even a pastor like me, I'm not excluded from the temptation of money. I have to be careful. All of us have to be careful. Because craving money, you could wander from your true faith. That's number three. And number four, this is important as well. Generosity is actually commanded for all of us Christ followers. If you're not a Christ follower this morning, you are excluded from this, all right? But we should know better. As Christ followers, we should know better. And Paul, talking to a young pastor named Timothy, he gave him this advice. You know, I'm quite nervous and timid when I talk about money myself. And Paul says to his protege, Timothy, "Timothy, I don't want you to be scared. This is so important, not for the money's sake, but this is such a spiritual battle." Paul commanded Timothy, his protege, like this: "Command those who are rich in this present world." See, some of us, we come to church, we like to be comforted. "Pastor Daniel, you comfort me. I'm in so much trouble in this world. I have this challenge, I have that challenge. I need some comfort." From time to time, yes, that is true. And in this church, we want to provide you with comfort. In fact, if you are facing whatever challenges in your life right now, at the end of this worship experience, I want you to come forward. We have prayer leaders who would love to pray for you, because we know life struggles are real. Some of us need encouragement. Some of us need comfort. But do you know that part of my job as a pastor is also to, not just to comfort, but also to command. This is a commandment from the Lord. This is not me giving you a command, but command those who are rich in this present world. That means this command is limited to a certain group of people. Not for everybody. Only for those who are rich in this present world. Maybe you think, aha, that's my way out. I'm excluded from this because I'm not rich. I'm just average. Well, let me tell you. If you want to know how rich you are, if you earned $25,000 last year, you are in the top 10% of the world's richest. Do you know that? $25,000, that's all it takes. If you earned $42,000 last year, you are in the top 1% of the world's richest. This is how ridiculously rich we are, all right? If you have an asset of $2,200, asset, not income. That means if you are able to sell your smartphone for $500 and then you sell your car for $2,000, that's it. You go over the limit already. If your asset is more than $2,200, you are in the top 50 of the world's wealthiest. That's how rich we are. All right? If you can find spare coins underneath the sofa, oh, I have money I don't know I have. You are rich, let me tell you that, all right? I know what the pushback is, but Pastor Daniel, you can't compare it like that. See, living in Australia is different than living in India. You don't need $42,000 to live in India. You just need $10,000. Regardless, all right? The point is still the same. We are not poor. That is the point. So Paul says this: command those who are rich in this present world. Now, why did he have to say in this present world? The implication is being rich in this world doesn't necessarily mean you will be rich in the world after. This world has an end. Do you know that? You will die someday. And Paul says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in riches, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Don't feel guilty when God bless you with finances. Enjoy it, Paul says. Don't feel guilty about it. Command them to do good. But that's not the end of it, though. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. How many times does the word rich come up in those two verses? Four times. Paul says, it's a play on word. Paul is saying, just because you are rich financially does not mean you are rich in good deeds. But what I want you to do, what God wants you to do, is to be rich in good deeds. You know what will happen if you do that? This is what will happen. In this way, they will store up treasures. Can I have the next slide, please? In this way, they will store up treasure for themselves. So you're not giving your money away. You're just transferring your money from one ledger to another. You're just transferring your money from your earthly ledger to your heavenly ledger. Your money will be waiting for you when this life is all over. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. In this way, they will store up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. I find it discouraging. I find it sad that people with all their wealth, you know, enjoying life, the short life here on earth, thinking that that is life, you know, being on a cruise every day, you know, enjoying all the luxury of this and that. That is life, man. I'm living the life. No, Paul says that's not the life. Our life here on earth is only so short. There is a life eternal waiting for us on the other side. That is truly life. So, Paul says, be generous. Be generous. There's a reason why God bless you with those wealth. I want to play you a video, as I promised. You will probably not be familiar with this guy. His name is Tom Monahan. But who he is, actually, he's the founder of Domino's Pizza. This is his story. You know, he felt so convicted that he is one of the people that Paul talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He was so prideful in his wealth. God spoke to him through a book of C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. And he decided to give up everything. So let's watch this and enjoy.
When we started out, the first store was called Dominic's. And owned by a guy by the name of Dominic DiPardi. And we bought this store from Dominic. And Dominic gave us permission to use the name. After a couple years, my store in Ypsilanti became probably the busiest pizzeria in the whole state of Michigan. I got a call from Dominic one day. And he said, you can't use my name anymore. And so it was kind of a panic. And we were thinking about different names to call it. And one day a driver came in from a delivery and he shouts out, I got our new name, Domino's. I says, that's great. That's a great name.
I had just joined the board of Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. And he was proposed as a new board member. That was quite an impression because when he was traveling then, he would come in by his own plane to the local airport and then by helicopter to the Franciscan campus, and accompanied by a security guard. The Tigers had just won the World Series, first year he owned them. So and he was quite a known, well-known person.
You know, I was a special case. I don't think too many people got obsessed with all the toys as I did. It was sort of a fast train heading for a train wreck. And I got off the train, maybe just in time, I don't know. I was the first one to take the delivery seriously and basically developed a whole industry, pizza delivery. And at one point in the late 80s, we had 54% of all the pizzas delivered in the United States. That time, I put the company up for sale. I read a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. And I had a chapter in there on pride. And I always knew that I had a lot of pride. I mean, the biggest sin I confessed and went to confession over the years is that I was too obsessed with impressing people. And I knew that was something I always had to battle. I don't know whether it's because I was brought up so poor or what. And that chapter in that book just hit me right between the eyes. And he basically was telling me that the reason you've worked so hard and tried to accomplish all you had was to have more, not just more, but more than other people. And that hit me right between the eyes, and I couldn't sleep that night.
You get the understanding that he grew up in an orphanage, and that begins to become very clear in his life that not only was he at the top of his game at one point, but in his giving away his money, he basically is happy without anything. It's kind of an interesting thing because most people, if they have a lot of money and they grew up poor, they're afraid of that experience again. But in his case, when he had that conversion that he had, he really, really believed that the most important thing was the eternal. And it made such a difference in his life.
after reading the C.S. Lewis's book, I decided I was going to give up all the toys, and I took what I call a millionaire's vow of poverty. I mean, we were always taught that pride is the basis of all other sins. After reading C.S. Lewis, I thought that I must be the biggest sinner in the world, because I don't know anybody who has more pride than I do. I mean, that was really a sobering thought. You know, it's not like I'm totally recovered from it yet.
At first, it was difficult to understand exactly how deep that change in him was. But I have witnessed it now very close up over the past 10 years, and there's no doubt in my mind that it is extremely genuine, and he has an ability to give up the perquisites of wealth that I've seen few other people have.
Amazing story, hey? $480 million that he decided to give away, and that's all of his wealth. Final reason why we are so generous, or we want to learn to be generous in this church, is we believe generosity writes us into the story of God. We believe generosity writes us into the story of God. History actually means his story. It's God's story. And as generosity is able to write us into the story of God, greed writes us out of the story of God. So we got to be careful with greed. You know, I drive an $8,000 car. I could have driven a $25,000 or $30,000 car, easy. But I decided, no. There are some things in life that are more important than for me to drive a nice car. I'm not begging any one of you who drive a nice car, all right? If God has blessed you and you are generous, by all means, enjoy your nice car. But my wife and I, we had just made a decision that we can do more with our money, you know. Because generosity writes us into the story of God. Listen to this story of Jesus. This is as we approach Easter. This is what happened to Jesus just prior to Easter. As they approached Jerusalem, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them." Listen to that. The Lord needs them. You know how ridiculous that is? Jesus, who is Jesus? He can create many donkeys if he has to, right? He can just say, "Donkey," and donkey will appear. He feeds 5,000 people. He created you. He created me. He could have done that himself, but he chose to send his disciples to grab this man's donkey. Why? Because Jesus wants to include him in the story of redemption. Jesus wants to include you in the story of redemption. Jesus could have come into Jerusalem by any means imaginable. He could have come with helicopter, private jet, whatever, surprise the people. Even in the first century, he could have done that. But he chose to ride on the back of the generosity of a donkey owner. He could have come to Kennington, let me tell you, by any means imaginable. But somehow, God chose you. Somehow God chose the Rocks Church to be here on Cecil Avenue in front of the busiest shopping center in the whole WA, and soon it's going to double in size. Why? Because God wants to write you into his history book. He is generous like that. He wants you to take part in the story of his redemption. So I have a video to show you, but I think time is running out, so I'll show you next year. How about that? Yeah, but I believe there will be a time in heaven someday when you will realize the impact that you can do with your finance. And that's what we're doing in this church. I want to invite Pastor Mike and the worship team to come back to the stage. And right now, we're going to display, if you like, a commitment to God as a church body here in this church. If you would find the commitment card in the Kingdom Builders booklet on your seat, there are two portions there that you, Pastor Mike will explain it all to you. Okay, how about that? And I'll come back and close us in prayer.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website, therocks.org.au.